Today on Rainbow Country, UK recording artist Tim Arnold, plus even more music from Lorraine Zagato. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, we all have a story to tell. And it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social. Let's get interactive on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Let me know that you listen to the show. Let me know that you listen to CIUT, and I will follow you back. Do you want to be on the show? Are you a musician? Are you an actor? Do you have an LGBT friendly business? Are you a gay owner of a business? Get in touch. Send me an email and I will have you on this show. Mark@marktara.com. It's just that simple, honey. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on Podomatic.com, and everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com, marktara.com. How are you liking the voice, eh? It's kind of different, you know, trying it out. Let's be honest, honey, I've been sick as a dog over the weekend. I do declare, sick as a dog, but I'm here. I'm a trooper. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So this is episode 57. On today's show, I'm spotlighting UK recording artist Tim Arnold. He has a new single out called What Love Would Want. And we'll also hear about how Iggy Pop compares Tim Arnold's music to David Bowie. Interested? You're going to have to stick around to find out about that. Plus, we'll have even more music from Lorraine Zagato. Well, my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Money Kills Love from Tim Arnold.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Bye. look into your eyes, then I won't see the end. I won't hear goodbyes. Don't call the curtain, 'cause nothing's certain. I still command an energy. Things in our life were free. A manicure's love, boy, on that I know we all agreed. A manicure's love, boy, so try to go with what you need. Finally left me. I grew up justified, but the win was not to be. You say to take.
So he's created an anthem for sexuality, for gender and racial equality. The song is called What Would Love Want? And he is UK recording artist Tim Arnold. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Lovely to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a bit of a whirlwind since I got to Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Meeting so many people here that are supporting the message in the song and... I'm thrilled, quite a lot overwhelmed, I suppose.
Well, that's a good thing to be, eh?
Yeah.
It's rather than people ignoring you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that before. That's not so good.
I know, me too. Me too, Tim. So, Tim, let's get to know you kind of like from the ground up, so
sure.
to speak. Did you come from a musical family, musical background, that sort of thing?
I did. I came from a theatrical family
okay.
In the United Kingdom. My mum's a singer and an actress, and my grandparents were both performers as well. So it goes back quite a long way. I think, in fact, my great grandfather was also worked with Charlie Chaplin. So,
really,
So the theatrical kind of strand goes a long way.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, in your bio, it says that you are from a mixed background.
I am mixed race. Yeah.
So, what's your? If you tell me yours, I'll tell you mine.
I'm half Indian, uh-huh. half British. My father, who I didn't actually get to know until shortly before he died, it was Indian, and my mum is white British, and my mum's gay, and so I grew up with two mums.
Right.
Actually, my father had no knowledge of my existence until I was 28.
Wow.
Anyway, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of quite a journey, that one.
So. Oh, so okay. So, how did this happen then?
Well,
so your mom and dad were together.
No, they weren't together.
Okay.
So, my mom had her first son in the 60s, and my older brother Toby, and she was always gay, but in those days, I think she was with a gentleman for a number of months. And decided she wanted a baby, and he didn't really want to be a parent, so the arrangement worked out just fine.
Okay.
And then my mother decided, I think about 9 years later, that she'd like another child.
Right.
And she was on tour in 1974 in Zambia with her band, and they'd gone out to do a cabaret concert. And then they cancelled her concerts, and she decided that she wouldn't go back to England and she'd explore Africa. Mm. And she did that, and in the midst of her explorations met the man that would become my father.
Wow.
And she pretty much decided, my mum's name's Polly Perkins, and she's one of the first British pop singers to come out as lesbian.
Really?
Yeah, 1971.
Wow.
She was good friends with Dusty Springfield and that whole
scene. Really?
Yeah. But she was the crazy one who kind of put her integrity before her career and let everybody know. It wasn't a great career decision, I think. But
your mom's?
She was a kind of trailblazer for coming out. She doodle-up, she doodle-up, what she doodle-up, she doodle-up, she doodle-up. Went back to England pregnant with me.
Wow.
And never had any reason to get in touch with my father, and didn't, right. You know, she had a loving girlfriend who I grew up with as well.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what, this is interesting because here I am, a gay person, and I have a gay show, but I've never met anyone who actually grew up with, say, two moms, two dads, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So what was that experience like for you growing up with, for lack of better words, two moms?
At the time when I was a child, I didn't notice it. I didn't identify that anything was different to other people. You know, I had my mum and her girlfriend. They both had quite distinct roles. My mum was very effeminate, and her partner was quite butch.
Okay.
So I recognized a kind of a stronger role in her girlfriend. In terms of practical stuff, and my mum was just this really glamorous, loving woman.
Mm-hmm.
So those archetypes that exist in heterosexual couples, I saw already, but I never thought it was any different. Obviously, when I got older, I started realizing that it was slightly different to a lot of my school friends who had two different sexes for their parents. Thinking about it now, and it's only recently that I've thought about it a lot, because there seems to be a resurgence of intolerance about people's choice of who they want to love, you know, regardless of sex, or who they want to be if they don't want to be the sex that they were born to be, that I thought about it and realized that having gay parents sort of made me focus on people, who they are and what they do and how they behave, not what they choose to do in private, or whether they should be, you know, men or women when it comes to raising children. I don't think it matters.
Now, you identify yourself as a straight male?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is going to sound like an odd question, but again, I have the opportunity, so I'm going to ask it. Growing up with two moms, and you're a straight male, growing up, when you started realizing your sexuality, did you ever question yourself, thinking like, maybe I'm supposed to be gay, or but I'm feeling attraction to women? Anything like that ever happened to
you?
The
other way around, I think. I mean, I was immediately sort of early teens, I suppose. I mean, actually from younger, I idolized women.
Right.
So in a similar way that gay men often idolize women, I have and still do. So there's that side. I suppose a lot of my straight friends call me camp, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but sexually I'm attracted to women.
Right.
And so I did think a couple of times, some gentlemen I met when I started performing as a singer in my teens, who used to ask me if I was straight or gay, and I said it was too early to tell. And I kind of kept saying that until I'd been with my first girlfriend for like 3 years. I thought, no, I'm straight.
Yeah.
You know, this is that's what works for me.
You knew what you liked.
I knew what I liked, and I still know what I like. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's good to talk about it, and I think. It's only because I realized there aren't many straight men who've grown... I have not heard any speak about growing up with two mums before.
Exactly.
And that's sort of why I thought I should stick my neck out a bit here.
Yeah.
because people often say it's not natural, it's not the way God intended it to be. Yeah.
And it'll influence you and change you and all that sort
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. And, I take after my mum. I love women. So I think I'm a walking...
You're a lesbian.
Yes, I am. I'm a lesbian, absolutely trapped in a man's body.
Hey. So talk to me about your music. When did you discover your love for music?
I think I discovered my love for music hearing my mother sing as a quite young. I mean, since I can remember. And through my older brother as well. It was a musical household.
Yeah.
And... people were always singing and playing. The thing I think that made me think it was a career option, although I don't think of it as a career, it's a life choice, being a musician, was that my mother had made three albums herself.
Right.
And I used to see records with my mum's face around the flat or the house where I was brought up. So immediately from a young age, and I didn't think of her as a celebrity or a star. I just thought, that's what you do. Okay, when I get older, I need to make records with my face on the cover. So I think it comes from her mainly. And then when I got into my teens, I started listening to so much music, you know, from everything from Cole Porter to Judy Garland to the Beatles to the Pixies, Burt Bacharach, you know, all the greats.
Yeah.
Songwriting was what drew me in. I wanted to be a writer before a performer.
Right. So I'm curious to find out about this, your collaboration with Iggy Pop. And him comparing your sound, your music, to David Bowie. Talk to me about that and how that all came about.
Because
I understood you scored a film that he was
in. That's right. I worked on the first film that Iggy did as a actor in a lead role. It's called Blood Orange, and it came out last year. And so there were two composers on the film, actually, but I wrote all the music that Iggy played in the film himself. He was playing a rock star. It's a thriller. And so I played the music that he was performing and writing. So he was writing a piece of music before his character, I should say, was writing a piece of music before he died in the film. And I had to write that, which is quite an experience, trying to imagine the last piece of music you would write.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wrote the theme tune, and I wrote a song for the film called Money Kills Love. And that was released as a single when the film came out. And yeah, he did an interview, which I believe is on the DVD extras, and it's online as well, where he compared me, not me, I think compared my work to Miles Davis, Chet Baker, and Bowie. And I actually got into Chet Baker because of him saying that, and I listen to Chet Baker a lot now. Miles Davis I've always listened to, and Bowie I've always loved. I think the only similarity really between what I do and what Bowie did is that all my albums sound different, and they sound like they're by different people.
Right.
And that's because, and I'm not the only one, I think a lot of artists approach music like an actor. Nobody wants to make the same film twice, right. You know. And I've certainly done that. And there have been a few characters along the way, not with as outlandish outfits or brave as outfits as Bowie would have explored, but still very distinctive roles between my albums. Yeah.
So when you heard that, what went through your mind when you heard that comparison that Iggy Pop did? How did that make you feel?
It was somebody working at the sort of in PR who told me, and I thought that's probably a good thing. I felt lucky, and you know, I think
it something that you were expecting?
No,
right. So it just came out of the blue.
Yeah, well, it was. And it was when I saw. He says it in the video, and I said, "Really? What?" And I looked at the video and went, "He does say it." Yeah, you know, and that was. It was a real confirmation for me of, I suppose, my journey through music has sometimes been quite lonely, sometimes not easy, sometimes it's been miraculous, but that's the life we lead, I think,
right.
Independent artists. You just never know what's going to happen. So that kind of gave me a little extra belief in what I was doing, which has helped enormously ever since. So I'm very grateful. That Iggy, I'm very grateful that he listened to the music and okayed me working on the music for his film anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Toby and his brother Tim Arnold were both almost adamant that I like whatever the music was going to be and that I'd be willing to stand behind it, and that may be more than personal because my character, Bill, in the film is the composer of the music, and it's meant to be his swan song before he has to pass away. They described the intention to do something along the lines of a group called Morphine that was real interesting and unique group, mostly instrumental, some years ago, who featured a great big huge baritone sax and sometimes a tenor with just a bass and drums, and it was very depressive music. I loved it. It was hit you hard. So I said, well, I liked your music to Burl. I liked Morphine. Let's hear what you've got. So they sent along a demo of the music done synthetically. It was obviously probably by Tim, one guy in a home studio or a tech studio. And it had elements, it had a sort of a noir or detective movie, sort of a guitar riff that comes and goes, but mainly four notes of a very very plaintive, simple saxophone theme, just four forlorn notes. Sounded, it could have been something, an outtake from Kind of Blue by Miles Davis, or maybe Low, side B of Low by Bowie and Eno. I liked it, and they redid it with real musicians, which roughened it up. And reminded me a little of some things that Chet Baker did he had an Italian period when he couldn't work in America because of his drug problems. It sounded like that, sort of this rough approach to film music. It was a real nice theme. I thought it was quite effective for the film.
So let's talk about What Love Would Want.
Sure.
What inspired What Love Would Want?
The initial inspiration for it was the He for She campaign, which is a UN women initiative to galvanize men to fight for women's rights. Because it's very simple when it comes to women's equality, that half the population of the planet are men, so we can probably address those issues more successfully if men start speaking up about it as well. And my mum's a feminist, I've grown up with that, and so it was natural for me, and I joined, became a member of He for She quite early on. And so I started singing that. You do with it. I love words, and I started singing He for She, and then I started singing She for He, and then He for He and She for She. And I realized that these ideas are labels, you know, and labels is the thing that can divide a community. And to kind of destroy those labels, I think it's a good thing. You know, I think it's a there's older people we have with us in this world now, I understand, I find it frightening that they don't know how to address somebody, if it's a he or a she or what. I understand, but you know, they're older people and they're from an older world, and this is, we're moving into the beginning of a new century, and things have changed a lot, and we have to embrace new ideas and I think let go of those old ideas. That was the initial point, and I never grew up with labels. I was never told you're a mixed race son of a lesbian.
Right.
I was told you're Tim, you know. You're Tim. That's it. And so that's at the heart of what inspired the song. But it's also very much to do with, I watched a video by Stephen Fry. He addressed a huge audience about, I think it was about the church, the Catholic Church being a force for good. And he basically got up and debunked that in a 15-minute speech.
Wow.
Where he highlighted the Catholic Church's condemnation of gay people. Mm-hmm. I brought tears to my eyes when I watched it. And it was, and because he's very, objective about it all. Brilliantly so. He gives a very impartial view, and then suddenly in the middle of the speech you see he takes it personally as well, of course, as he should do as a gay man. And it's shocking still that we have this incredibly powerful institution, which is old. Mm-hmm. It's not a new thing. It's really old and outdated, which makes people frightened to be who they are, you know, and that's something actually I feel impulsively angry about.
Right.
And the song is me channeling the anger into a gentle way of highlighting the point, because I don't think you don't achieve anything by talking to somebody like, I don't know, Russian presidents or American leaders who feel strongly about these issues if you get angry. Mm-hmm. I think you have to, the heart of it is love, which is the most gentle power in the world. It's a weapon that does the opposite to the weapons you hear about on the news. It doesn't make us implode. We become like an explosion of love.
Right. So when you were writing the song,
yeah,
What Love Would Want, what came to you first? Was it you singing the he for she? Was it the melody?
It was the chorus. I wrote the chorus first.
Right.
He for she for he. And then every time I didn't know what would come next.
Right.
And then I realized what I was singing wasn't a statement. It was a question. It's not he for she. It's he for she.
Okay.
It's not he for he. It's he for he. Really? Do we need to use those words? Ask what love would want. That's how you'd say it. You know, you wouldn't. It doesn't sound like that maybe when you hear it sung, but that's what it is. It's a question. It's like, never mind he's and she's and all these names. And language can be the most liberating thing or the most sort of imprisoning.
Right.
I think when you let go of language, and that's where music can help, it's important to just, yeah, don't ask what your parents want. Don't ask what your teacher wants. Don't ask what the government want or the church wants. Ask what love would want. If you personify love as a person, then and if you're a decent human being, then you'll treat that person with respect. It doesn't matter where that person arrives. You might arrive between two men, two women, a man or a woman,
right.
A man who is only going to be a man for a couple of years because he wants to be a woman. It doesn't matter. It's about love and what love would want if it was a person. That's sort of really what the song's about.
Well said, Tim Arnold. So if people want to find out more about you and your music and What Love Would Want, how can they do that? Like social media, that sort of stuff.
Well, specifically with What Love Would Want, hashtag What Love Would Want, will probably find you everything that's happening to do with this song and the causes associated with it, mm-hmm. which are many. There are many different causes. But my website, timarnold.co.uk, Facebook/Tim Arnold Music, and Tim Arnold Music, actually, on everything, Instagram and Twitter, yeah.
Excellent. Tim Arnold, thank you so much for your time and
being
on the show.
And thank you so much for having me here at this station, which I love. I'd love to spend more time here. I hope I come back a second time.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
From my door, the barriers you see I never saw. In problem I can't find. He for she, she for he. Ask what love would want, what love would want of you.
community announcements.
Saturday, July 29th, Relentless Entertainment presents Drag Divas Live, featuring the live vocals of Toronto's very own Amanda Roberts, Toronto's number one Stevie Nicks impersonator, Crystal Visions, and drag recording artist Jade Electra at the 120 Diner located at 120 Church Street. Seating begins at 6 p.m., showtime at 6:30. $10 tickets in advance or $15 at the door.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. So, believe it or not, July is almost over. I have one more show in July, and that's next week, featuring another recording artist, Toronto-based recording artist, Shawnee. So we'll hear from her next week. For the month of August, I'm thinking of doing most of the month, it'll be featuring all LGBT artists, all music. Most of the episodes, I think I have a couple obligations that I have to meet in regards to airing certain things, but I'm pretty sure 2 or 3 weeks will be all LGBT recording artists. People like Lynx from Random Order. Tessa, Jordan Alexander, people like that. You'll have to stay tuned. So this next musical artist I've had the pleasure of interviewing twice. Her current record is called Invincible Decency. So here are a couple tracks featuring Lorraine Zagato. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Zagato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
a stranger. See a sister wandering around like her life is upside down. She's losing her direction. See a man with a big and bald, says he'll never cry no more. His past was bright, but now his future is in question. Try to do what I can, do my best to be human. Down, we've all made a few mistakes. Down the west, a give and take. I need some easy right now. I can knock you down, or I can raise you up. I know the future's a question, but face whatever comes. We're only human. We're doing
Boys Club.
Listening to Rainbow Country right here on CIUT. And that was Lorraine Zagato. We heard three tracks from Lorraine Zagato. We heard She Tell You, Lorraine Zagato and Parachute Club, as well as just now Boys Club. And we also heard from her current record, Invincible Decency. We also heard Only Human. Speaking of Only Human, how are you liking Rainbow Country? A little over a year old. Go figure, eh? June 2016 is when it started. Funny how time flies. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of work. But well worth it. Get social. Get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook at Mark Tara Music. Let me know that you listen to the show. Follow me. I'll follow you back. The email is mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And thanks to you, on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart, Rainbow Country is usually in the you know, top 10, top 15, that sort of thing. And that's all thanks to you. And don't forget, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Next week, like I mentioned before, Toronto recording artist Shawnee will be my special guest. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. I'll see you next week.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.